Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's time to wake up with a nice cup of morning roast. Featuring
the Fillmore's finest, Monte Hill. The pride of the Excelsior, Joe Butcher Boy Shasky. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, the morning roast.
What a week this has been. What a week on the roast. What a week in the sports world. Last night was fun. The first round of the NFL draft, the Niners select out of the University of Florida by way of Arizona State, Ricky Pearsall. Got to get that right. Ricky Pearsall is his name. Pearsall. Out of Florida, young wide receiver. Now, will somebody else be moved? We'll wait. Deebo or Ayuk, seems like they both are on the block. Anyway, Lakers lose. They're down 0-3 to the Denver Nuggets. So we got another. We're going to have an offseason of LeBron James coming to the Golden State Warriors. That's just in a matter of time. You got the Sixers beating the Knicks last night. Embiid, 50 points. By the way, real quick, before we get back into the draft, what'd you think about that foul Embiid committed on Mitchell Robinson? It was dirty, huh?
I mean, yeah, of course it was dirty. Like, it is what it is. But, I don't know. Embiid. Right.
We got to call an audible. Oh, no. Toledo. Omaha. Omaha 27. Blue 9. Herb Edwards got to do 8:30. Oh. Not 8 o'clock. So we'll push.
Well, that's
Herb
okay.
Oh, my God.
I thought it was a playoff foul. And, yeah, it was a little dirty. There's no doubt about it.
We know, Lubby. He recruited Ricky. We know. That's the whole reason why we're bringing him on. He comes to Arizona State.
It was more just for the listeners to know that Herm Edwards was once the head coach for Ricky Pearsall when he was at Arizona State and recruited him to Arizona State. So that's why we're having Herm on, is to talk about the player that.
Lubman, are you okay?
Dude, I'm tired.
Yeah, I can tell.
Yeah.
It's been a week for your boy.
You're like limping around here. You threw on God knows what.
So when the Giants are at home.
No Miami picks in the first round.
Oh, that's why? Oh.
Just waiting on Cameron Kitchens to fall to the third round. So he could be a bust somewhere.
Freddie Kitchens?
He might be the only guy they draft out of Miami. Who wants a Miami player these days?
Nobody.
Not even Mario Cristobal wants him. Continue.
Yeah, you've been all day. You've been a little, So anybody, Herb Edwards recruited. Pretty Ricky. The Arizona State. Herb Edwards, which coach? Pretty Ricky at Arizona State. Herb Edwards knows a little bit about Pretty Ricky, which is why we're bringing Herb Edwards on to talk about Pretty Ricky, newest member of the 49ers. Or
Ricky plays to win the game.
Should we start calling him Yak Harlow? Ricky is third person.
I like Yak Harlow.
Pretty Ricky bet not talking third person.
No, he hasn't earned that.
Yeah, no. Although, it is always interesting hearing different guys talk at the podium, seeing the families in the rooms. There was one guy, I forget who got drafted. Someone was asleep on the couch with the whole family, and he was just passed out, chilling.
Whose parents was that? Brian Thomas Jr., the LSU receiver, where... White lady asked the parents, was like, how's it going? And she asked her mom. She goes, what did she say? She tried to make it all dramatic, like they came from a hole in the wall.
Well, there was the funny one where it was, and I'll get the sound. She was basically asking, man, how far have you guys come to where you are at right now? And then she just replied, yeah, we came from Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Yeah. You just took it literally as possible.
I had one of those moments this week.
You know what it was, though, if you look deeper? Because it was funny for anybody, but there's a lot of these situations where they get to this. Remember a couple years ago, ESPN would put on the draft profile, his mom was an alcoholic.
Trey
Wingo would do every single like soliloquy of his backstory.
And it'd be like, yo, you're leading into it. Not everybody comes from back. So that the response to that was like, we're from Baton Rouge, Louisiana. We're good. Like, we don't need no sappy story here. My son just got drafted. I'm from Baton Rouge, homie. We live in a regular neighborhood.
And you got pride from where you're from. Right, that's kind of exactly what I took it as, too. But it was just funny how literal, because like, she wasn't going for that. Yeah.
The reporter was looking for a sappy story. Yeah. Like, oh, yeah, you know, when he was eight, I worked three jobs or something like this. He was looking for one of those dramatic stories. It's like, yeah, it's not happening here.
I had the priest at the baptism on Sunday ask me, like, what are you guys here for? And I was like, what do you want from the church? And I didn't know. I was like, is this an open-ended question? I'm like, how do we want him to get love from the community or something? And he's like, for a baptism? I'm like, oh, that was the question you were looking for. So I've had similar moments.
Xavier Worthy Guyton got drafted from Oklahoma to lineman, and there was a dude in a Frisco Niners hat and a t-shirt.
It was the best.
And he's hugging him, knowing he's going to the Cowboys.
It was so good.
Do you like
to like survey the girlfriends? Like, for example, Michael Penix was there with his significant other, and she kept adjusting her dress the entire time. I like to see the dynamics between the girlfriend or wife or fiance or whatever and the parents. Like, does he hug the parents first, the girl?
It's always the parents, number one.
Why are you saying
and
stop
number two,
it?
Am I going to
get in trouble?
You know what goes on in my head? Well, how long is that going
to
last?
That's what I was going
to
say.
Every time this happens, I go to CeeDee Lamb snatching the phone from the girlfriend.
Or what about Russell Wilson's girl?
Oh, she was gone in 2 seconds after she became a meme.
Where is she at?
Now.
Where is she now?
Oh, that's not right.
The point.
She's gone. Who's there in the green room, and who's there 5 years later? It's always interesting to see what's happening. Or you get that one guy who got drafted. Where did he get drafted from? Georgia? It's about 4 or 5. But Monty Jones retweeted it this morning where this white lady, who I guess was a teacher or something, was hugging him. And the mom was like, yo, get the hell up off him. This is my moment.
Wow.
It's always interesting.
And then you have like Joe Alt looking like the giantest toddler of all time alongside of all normal sized people. I love seeing the dads that are like ripped out of their minds too, just jacked. Like, I wonder where he got it from.
Because he played, he was huge.
Yeah,
still.
Yeah. Like, I wonder where he got it from. I don't know. Clearly, the milkman's kid.
Sandra, how far has this family come?
We came from Baton Rouge, Louisiana.
What a great answer.
She's not wrong.
She was trying to find something else. Like, how far?
It was
have you
so
guys
genuine.
Come?
That's why it was funny too. Right. It was so nice.
Right. Like, hey, were you on food stamps before? Well, how far did you come? Like, it was like, whoa. You don't need to have a deep story on everything. Anyway, let's go to Brian and Palo Alto.
It was Bo Nix, his brother, by the way, or somebody was just chilling. I'm getting texts from people.
Probably was a little high.
That somebody in his family was sleeping on the couch.
Well, if they're on the East Coast, too, it's late. It's late out there.
12 pick.
Never mind. It's like 8 o'clock. Never mind.
Before we get to BPA, just want to preface this call by saying he tweeted us last night, Chaz. Or he tweeted me. And by the way, BPA called him when I told him he was in Alcatraz, but I'll let it slide today. It's a payday Friday.
Well, I told him the 23-1, as in locked up for 23, out for one. We'll allow it for today. We're giving him a little air today. The warden is very generous.
All right. Okay. It's an awful pick.
Well, you're the warden. I'm the deputy.
I guess I'm being... Listen, PPA tweeted at me. It's an awful pick. Guy isn't a starting wide receiver in the NFL.
I'm right.
So, does BPA still feel like he felt last night about the pick? BPA, good morning to you.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Anytime.
You know what? I think... Hey, I have a big mouth sometimes, but yes, I'm more positive about it than I was. I honestly didn't know much about him. I think he's actually a pretty good player. My thinking coming in was like, you have to get if you're going to draft wide receiver, you have to get one of the top guys. And obviously he wasn't viewed as that, because the thought being, okay, that guy needs to be a really kind of high functioning starter next to Ayuk or Debo, whoever they pick. But now I just hope they just don't move Debo. The hope now is, you know, to go one more year with Debo, you know, and Ayuk together, move off Debo after this season. I mean, to me, it's if they don't address the offensive line, then they really didn't learn their lesson. So hopefully they get a couple solid offensive linemen who can compete to be starters.
Well, that's where I want Jackson Powers here, and you're just looking at where their draft pick is. I don't know if he's going to fall to them. You know, like they don't pick again until the late second round, and that's where I'm questioning. Like, all right, are they going to? They have a second and a third rounder. That's it. That's all they have left. The Niners for today.
For today.
So, like, are they going to trade back in? Are they going to trade one of their guys? Are they going to move, you know, ammunition from next year into this year? Frazier's still out there. Zach Frazier from West Virginia, another center. I'd love to have him as well.
BPA, you still there?
Yeah, I'm not. Yeah, I'm here. I'm not sure it's worth it to trade Debo Samuel just to move up in the second round, right?
Yep.
They have a lot of picks. I mean, they could move up in the second round without giving up Debo Samuel, probably, right?
Nine so picks
that's
left.
What I would try to do.
Yeah, 9 picks left.
But
in
like
the draft.
Offensive line, yeah. I mean, offensive line, like at a minimum, you got to get a couple good guys to improve your, you know, to improve your upside on the offensive line. Because I'm in my opinion, the offensive line is the biggest reason.
I agree.
The Super Bowl.
BPA, real quick, BPA, before you leave. I know you're watching the NBA playoffs. Yep. Lakers are down 0-3. LeBron going to solve some problems for the Warriors this season?
He would solve more problems that they're currently looking like they'll be solving. So, I think if you're going to beat Denver and you look at Oklahoma City, these teams are stacked. You're going to need to pair up some stars. Or, you know, or they can do the, you know, hey, let's end this with dignity and, let's go into the convalescent home and fade away, right? I don't know.
There it is. There it is, BPA.
I'm sorry. I hate to break the narrative.
We let him out on bail.
So there's a lot of just speculation about trade and whatnot. If you got another second rounder and let's say a fourth or a fifth, most people aren't doing that for Debo, huh?
No, I'm in the camp of let's run the stake back. Let's add these rookies to the equation. Let's win this freaking Super Bowl in New Orleans for crying out loud. And let's do it with Debo. Let's do it with Ayuk. Let's do it with Kittle. Let's do it with CMC. This offense was humming last year. Humming. That was the beauty of it. You couldn't lock in on one guy. These guys are all ballers. Ballers. I'm not into trading ballers for prospects. You know, now I do trust Lynch and Shanahan to make the right pick, and, you know, I've warmed up to Pretty Ricky, but, if I have to, let me run this back. Let me add Pretty Ricky with Ayuk and Debo. That sounds deadly. And then Kittle and McCaffrey, you still got Juszczyk who's catching passes in the Super Bowl. I want all the weapons I need. I got to load up for Kansas City. I got to load up for Philadelphia. I got to load up for the Rams, and it may take you at least 30 just to be in the damn football game. I need all this ammunition for Brock Purdy, the rock and roll next season. Because offense is starting to win these Super Bowls, man. You better have some explosives out there. This guy's explosive. Debo's explosive. Ayuk's explosive. Why not keep the band together for one more? Just one more. Just give me one more year.
I hear you. I would like that. But their next pick is at 31 in the second round. And so I just don't think they're going to be able to shore up all their needs. It's just really hard. It's really hard. And I believe the second round to be fantastic value in terms of, you know, you get really premium players under team control for 4 years. Like, I like the second round. I think it's got a lot of really good playmakers. There are DBs available, multiple DBs at the front of this second round I like. There are offensive linemen I really like. There are other receivers I really like. I hear you. I would actually think about moving next year's picks to move back into the second round.
So move next year's picks and keep the players. Because then if you're going to move off some of the players next year, you may be able to recoup some of this. Maybe not as high, you may be able to get back into it.
Yeah, I think that's the equation that they're running right now in their head. Like, is Debo worth more today or is he going to be worth more next year?
Wear and tear. But what if he balls out, man? I mean, this team, gosh. You know what? 408 makes a good point here. Should need a mobile text line. Don't forget that Brock Purdy will get a proper training camp this season. He partaked in training camp last year. He didn't go full tilt, but I think more importantly, the offseason.
He couldn't play 3 days in a row.
Yeah, no, he couldn't play 3 days. But
the offseason, I think, is more important. Once you shore this up and you figure out who's going to be here, the Niners end up leaving this NFL draft. The draft's completed. They make their picks. If they get, you know, if they keep Ayuk and Deebo, now we bring in Slick Rick, you bring in Deebo, you bring in Ayuk, and let's roll with the offseason workouts. And let's build this rapport with Brock Purdy so we're all on the same page.
So if they don't trade Ayuk away, you think they have the contract ready to go to pay him right away?
They can work on it. They could work on it. And they may have to just end up giving him the back and just give him the damn back.
We agree. He's probably not going to show up for all the training camp stuff.
I need him in training camp. So get this deal done. AJ Brown got the extension yesterday. He got extended. Get me the damn back to Brandon Ayuk so I could deliver it to him. Do it ASAP. Get the money right. We know what the market is.
I keep coming back to the Christian McCaffrey conversation we were having with Florio yesterday, and I feel like whether it's D'Amon or Lenore, obviously much smaller contract than what we're talking about with Brandon Ayuk, whether it's CMC, whoever, Aaron Banks is a guy that I've thought about, like maybe they're going to extend him. I think that they've got a couple of extensions in their mind that they're thinking about that we haven't even thought about.
Maybe. 888-957-9570. How are you feeling about this pick? How are you feeling? Can you hit me with the draft pick? With the number 31st pick. I want to hear it one more time. Spadone. I'll throw you on the spot here, but I want to hear it one more time.
You want the jingle or you want me to just get you the draft selection?
The draft selection.
I can just grab that for you right now, Bonte, as I'm vamping and pulling it up on the computer.
Don't vamp inside.
Right now, no, but I got it right now.
Why
are
you doing that? Why are you doing that? I could play John Lynch right here.
Sure.
I can play John Lynch.
And I'll play this right after. How about that?
Still hoping to work something out with Ayuk.
Why is always us? But, you know, I don't know. You know, I know that we're continuing to have positive talks with BA and, you know, We are really efforting to get something done with them, and we're excited about continuing down that path. And Brandon being a part of this team, Deebo is a part of this team and a big part of this team. So, like I said, we feel great about that group, and we feel like we just made it better with another really good addition to it who complements the group real well.
That's John Lynch. Last night, after they made this pick.
With the 31st pick in the 2024 NFL Draft, the San Francisco 49ers select Ricky Pearsall, wide receiver, Florida.
I'll hear the word comp thrown out pretty much on draft scenarios. Can you give us a comp on Ricky Pearsall? Who does he remind you of?
It's tough. God, I don't know if I want to do that, man. How long, it reminds me of myself, just a lot faster, a lot better, much better hands, can jump, can just do everything much better. I don't want to be held to that forever. I'll let him do that.
Ricky Pearsall.
Honest to God. I know he presented it as a joke. I don't think he was joking at all. I do think he sees himself in this guy.
No, well, who'd we just have on?
He loved Trent Taylor.
Well, he just had someone on that said, no, I'm sorry, I can't remember right now, but they said that he used to show wide receivers his film.
Oh, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah. He believes that.
Yeah, he does.
He does believe it.
He's just like his dad. Like, they're the arrogance for these Shanahans. I love it, too, because they win. It's great.
At least you know where you stand. Right? You know where you stand.
You know I have a love-hate relationship with Kyle Shanahan, man.
You've heard of what Fig Jam stands for when it comes to Phil Mickelson, right?
No. What does it mean? Fig Jam?
Yeah. Freak, I'm great. Just ask me.
Oh, gosh.
And I'm paraphrasing the front end of
Hellacious
that.
Hellacious seeds.
I thought you were just talking about yourself. You sure as Phil? You sure as Butcher?
Well, everyone's got a little Butcher in them.
What about Heather in Santa Clara? Heather! Good morning, Heather. Long time no talk. What's going on?
Hi. How are you guys all doing this morning?
We're doing great. You know, we're loving Ricky Pearsall right now.
My knee is a little sore, but I'm feeling good.
Yeah. You know, Heather, Shasky's always injured. He's always injured.
I know. All right. Well, you know, I always feel like it's hard to make a strong opinion after one pick. as I think it's best to evaluate their whole class after they make all their picks.
That's smart.
But I had mixed emotions. I had mixed emotions yesterday when I heard the pick, because all these situations that everyone was talking about this morning, you just play all these things. And I really, I'm in the camp where, like you, Bonte, where I just want to run everything back as well with everyone. So, but you know what made me feel better?
What's
so
that?
As I was looking through the 49ers IG post, I noticed a quote in the background of the pick with the 49ers brass. So, it was from Bill Walsh. So it said, "The process must take into account a number of factors. I think it says one critical question must be answered. Does the individual make a meaningful contribution to the team?" So I always blindly follow Bill Walsh, you know. So I'm feeling good. I think we just need to get all these weapons around Brock Purdy, our quarterback.
Yep.
That's all I have to say.
Call
good
again.
Good call, Heather. Very good call. Tell the girls we said hi. Tell your husband we said what up. She was at the Hilton Hotel with us. Yeah, yeah. Trading camp. Real quick, Abe in Newark, before we get to Herm Edwards at 8:30. Abe, what's happening?
Hey, what's up, man? Good morning. How are you guys doing?
Good, good, good.
Hey, just wanted to call in and talk about a little bit about the Niners draft selection from last night. I know there's been a lot of conversation going on about the pick, and I think for me personally, I'm a little bit on the side of the camp that perhaps the Niners reached a little bit too much on to Ricky, and I think he would have been there on day two. And if Kyle and Lynch loved him so much, they could have just traded up in the second round to go get him. But I think there were more pressing needs on the O-line. So you could have probably got the center out of Oregon, Jackson Powers Johnson, I believe, or maybe one of the premier cornerback talents in Kool-Aid McKinstry or Cooper DeJean, who also doubles as an excellent punt returner. And we saw how special teams went for the Niners in the Super Bowl. So I feel like there were just more pressing needs where you could have gotten much better talent. And then if you guys really loved Ricky Pearsall, then you could have just gone up in the second round to go grab him.
Good call, Abe. That's fair. That's fair. But I know C.J. Stroud's reaction.
Bro, he's elite. You'll see.
He gets
especially
open.
In that offense, man. Kyle's going to dial it up for him.
Kyle,
that's why I feel like he was going to fit in our system.
4-4-1 with a 1-4-9 10-yard split.
Oh, he's nasty, bro.
Nasty. I mean, he went off for 3 minutes.
I love hearing other players talk about other players.
We just played the whole 3 minute clip.
And then when Steve Smith is co-signing on you, Steve Smith's been destroying Jerry Jeudy for 2 years.
Destroying him.
Right. And like, I don't know. I kind of listen to some of the players.
Stop calling him Ricky Pearsall and call him what his real name is. Slick Rick is what they call him. Great vision, stands out. He knows exactly where he needs to be. Played with three different quarterbacks with three different styles of play. He's the go-to guy. His ability to adjust will be required in the services in the National Football League.
Ricky Pearsall, newest member of the 49ers. Let's talk to Herm Edwards about Slick Rick right here on the Morning Roast. I'm feeling Slick Rick right now. Let's go, Slick Rick.
I just want you guys to talk about me the way you talk about Mike Florio.
Now, back to the Morning Roast with Bonte and Shasky.
Ricky Pearsall, newest member of the 49ers, drafted number 31 overall out of the University of Florida by way of Arizona State. And the guy who recruited him to Tempe, Arizona, Herm Edwards, will connect with him in just a second here. By the way, we got Caller of the Week coming up. You don't want to miss that. Caller of the Week, and make sure you're subscribed to the Garlic Fries and Baseball Guys podcast. Sam Lovin and Joe Shasky bringing the best damn Giants talk. That's my phone there. In the Bay Area, since every single week, all season long, win or lose. And Jordan Hicks is going to be on the podcast today, Shasky. Jordan Hicks, who's off to a fine start with the San Francisco Giants. So excited about the Giants, excited about the NBA playoffs, and excited to have Herm Edwards on the Morning Roast here on 95.7 The Game. Coach, good morning to you, man. Thanks so much for joining us on short notice.
Well, thank you, my friend. You know, obviously everyone's watching the draft last night. I was kind of taken back, being an old defensive player. the first 15 picks, there was only one defensive player picked. I went, man, what an ill. We don't play defense anymore.
No doubt. They broke records for all these players. 14 picks, the first 14 all offensive players. Six quarterbacks taken in the first 12 picks. I didn't see that one coming for the first time since 1983, and that stacked draft class when he came to the quarterback position. So before we get into Ricky Pearsall and how you met him and recruited him to Arizona State or whatnot, Coach, what is it about this league? Are we moving towards the old adage of defense wins championships? And I still do believe that. However, I do believe that if you don't have enough playmakers offensively, you can't compete with the big boys in this league.
Well, you got to score the ball. And the way you score, you got to throw it. I still think you got to run and play good defense to win championships. But to be in the game, you got to score points. And it's a wide-open football game anymore. I mean, you know, the quarterback is the key, and this is why you see six of them go so early. Because if you don't have one, you're an 8-8 football team, bottom line. And then maybe you can win two more games because you play good against a team that doesn't have a quarterback as well. But you're 8-8. But when you got a quarterback, you got a chance. So,
call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I just think it's a league now. When you look at it, there's a lot of three wide, one tight end, one running back. The running back's obsolete. There was no running back draft yesterday. I mean, there's none. I mean, I still think they're a part of your offense, but it's a league of passing, and it's just evolved to that. It's become a little bit of college football, to be quite honest, the way these guys can throw the ball. This is why you draft young quarterbacks, because in college, they throw the ball so much. You just say, hey, look, we're going to run the same offense here, so let him play here. So it's kind of interesting.
Coach, take me back to the beginning. Every recruitment, every guy you interact with, there's a story. Where did you meet Ricky? Where did you first see him? Break it down. Trying to recruit him to go to Arizona State.
I want to say he was there when I got there. He was a young player. He was with Ayuk and Jaden, Rashad White. Mm-hmm. All those guys were there at one time together. It's pretty good offense. And N'Keal Henry was the big guy then. Yeah. He was the number one guy then, and all these other guys were young guys. But it was fun watching him grow as a player and just watching him develop. But, he is a guy that I think fits the 49ers system. They want a guy that's multiple, that you can move around. You can put him in a slot, put him in a GX. He's good he's good as a blocker. He'll block. He's not afraid to block. He's got better speed than people realize. He can return. He's a good punt catcher. He's not a dynamic return guy, but he's a safe guy to catch the ball. He's very competitive. He's strong. He's strong. He's a strong runner too. He's not Debo. He doesn't have that running back Debo mentality, but he can run with the ball. He's kind of like the more you watch him, and that was the conversation that I had with Lynch. I said, he's a good football player. Now you're getting yourself a good football player. This is before the draft. We were talking about it. And I said, he can fit all the boxes for you. And I think this is why the 49ers went after him, the fact that he can do a lot of things on offense for you.
Coach, I don't mean to interrupt you, be there, but it's interesting. You said you talked to Lynch and Shanahan prior to. I don't want you to disclose, intimate information, but what is it that coaches ask someone who knows a player like that? What are the things that they ask, about a player?
Well, for John, look, we got a history now. I mean, it goes way back to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So there ain't much he got to ask. he just says, Coach. And I say, yay or nay. and he goes, okay, I got it. Because we looking at the same guy. It's just and the bottom line, I tell John all the time, is John, he likes football. He really likes football, man. And John, okay. And we talked, how are we talking? I ain't going to get into all that. But there's a trust thing there. And, it's just that's what friends do.
Yep.
That's how it works in life.
Ricky Pearsall, newest member of the 49ers, 31 overall, at the University of Florida. Obviously, was at Arizona State. Played with Brandon Ayuk at Arizona State. Jay Daniels, of course, went number 2 overall to Washington. Herm Edwards here on the Morning Roast on 95.7 The Game with Joe Shasky, the Butcher, and Bonte Hill. So what is something that he needs to work on as he takes this next step? We see a lot of experts, and like I'm not going to pretend like I'm an expert. I've warmed up to the pick, but what is something that he's going to have to work on to excel at the next level?
Well, I think all receivers struggle when they get to that level from the line of scrimmage, when guys are pressed, right? I mean, that's the hardest thing for receivers when they come in the league. I know that as a former corner. You know, when you get a young receiver, the first thing you do, coach, let me go cat him. Let me go cat coverage this guy and see if he can get away, you know? And that's where, because, you know, in the NFL, it's not like college football. You ain't got a lot of time.
Right, right.
you 1,001, 1,002, you better be open, partner. If not, I'm going the other way. And so you got to get off. You got to get off press coverage. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, the multiple coverage reads he's going to have to be able to see, especially in Shanahan's offense. You know, he's going to have to see the game through the quarterback. That's why when you look at the 49er receivers, you know, not only are they skilled, they got to be smart guys. You know, Coach Shanahan, he wants smart guys. In other words, when you line up and the defense gives you this look and this front and all of a sudden things change, well, all of a sudden your route might have changed too somewhere in the scheme of it all. Instead of running through the zone, you might have to stop now because of the coverage.
Right.
And the quarterback knows that. And you got to know that. Mm-hmm. Because the quarterback, look, Shanahan, that quarterback ain't holding that ball for a long time, guys. He's getting rid of the ball. And so you got to see that, and that's the transformation of a young wideout. You know, in college, they see maybe cover two, they see man-to-man, they see a little blitz combination. In pro football, man, there's a whole lot going on there.
Now, you know Ayuk quite well, and we don't know what's going to happen. There's rumors of Debo gone and then Ayuk gone. On the surface right now, if you were to pair up Brandon Ayuk with this young man, Ricky, and Debo Samuel, what does that look like to you as a coach?
Oh, it's hard to deal with. And then you forgot about the other two guys.
Yeah, George Kittle, CMC.
And the runner.
Yep.
I mean, you know, first of all, you ain't got enough footballs. but the thing is, defensively, that's a problem. And look, Pearsall's a guy, like I said, he's unique in this sense. You can move him all over the place. He can play in the slot. He can play Z. He can play X. You know, he's kind of like a Debo. Now, he can't play the running back position that Debo can. But the other positions there, he can play. And it's just a matter of how Coach Shanahan wants to run his offense. You know, and what formations and personnel groups he's going to attack you with. But you got guys, and all these guys can do this, guys. They can run, they can catch and run. You know, this offense ain't a vertical where I'm going to throw it down the field 20 yards. This is a 5-10 yard, I'm throwing it to a spot, you catch it, and now you got to run. And all these guys can run. They're good runners after the catch. I mean, if you watch the 49ers, that's what they do.
No, the yak is definitely that's what separates them from a lot of teams here, Herm. Let me ask you this, because Shasky brought up Brandon Ayuk, and obviously here in the Bay Area, we've been talking a lot about Brandon Ayuk. I don't want to see Brandon Ayuk leave. I don't want to see Debo leave. I think Brandon Ayuk was highly underrated last year, and he, you know, considering the target share, he made it. He popped 19 yards a catch, second in the league. I mean, this guy's a player here. So what you've played in the league, you've coached in the league. What is the philosophy when it comes down to these situations when you have to pay a guy and you know you're up against the cap, but you try to flip a guy for prospects? Because me personally, I'm taking a proven talent over a prospect any day of the week. What is going on through the minds of Shanahan and Lynch when it comes to the situation of possibly trading a proven all-pro player for a couple picks that may pop, that may not pop?
Well, here's the problem you have. When you do a good job of evaluating players, and you draft them, or you acquire them, however you acquire them. The uniqueness of the NFL is this. You can't pay them all. That's the bottom line. That's what makes the NFL so unique. And other teams know that. They know it's going to come due. They can't pay them all. Who are they going to pay? And so now you sit there and you got to ask yourself, okay, we want all these guys. We're willing to pay, you know, whatever we can pay. Now, if the money becomes a problem, that's one thing. Then we got to make a decision. If the player decides
that because he doesn't want the money, he's going to hold out, he's going to sit out, then, you know, we still got to win football games. We still got to play. So what do we do, right? So I think what the 49ers have done, they've covered themselves. They want Ayuk there. There's no doubt about that. They don't want him to leave. They want the guy to be a 49er. I think Brandon wants to be a 49er as well. Regardless of what's been said, because that's the business part of it. Right. You don't even pay attention to that guy. That's his business. And I tell players all the time, I say, man, when you negotiate the contract, don't take it personal. That's business. And once it's done, now you come back to playing football. And that's just the way it is. You got to understand that. So I just think, you know, they're in a situation now that hopefully they can get him signed and, you know, all that works out. But if not, they've protected themselves with another young guy, just like when they drafted Brandon Ayuk. Yeah. Everybody said, well, who is this guy? I said, you know what? He's a pretty good football player. You guys going to like this guy? Well, guess what? People like him now. They don't want him to go. Nobody wants him to go. But that's the nature of the NFL, guys. And it's hard, man. It's hard because you develop players and you develop them and you pick them the right way. You know 3 or 4 years down the road, we ain't going to be able to keep all these guys, yeah, man. Just can't. It's hard. It's not personal.
Coach, you're talking about business, not personal. Two questions for you here.
Sure.
There's obviously mm-hmm. the Jaden Daniels. I'm curious what you think about his ascension because of your mm-hmm. connection there. And then what did you make of Atlanta signing Kirk Cousins and then moving up, or not moving up, but grabbing Michael Penix? You want to talk about business, not personal. Wow.
Well, I think if you're Penix, you're excited in the fact that I got a veteran guy that can show me the ropes for a year or two. I don't think they brought him in there to beat Kirk Cousins out. Knowing Raheem worked for me, guys.
Yeah.
He's starting the league with me.
Mm-hmm. Tampa Bay, yeah.
Raheem is getting a guy that I got a veteran guy. I got a young quarterback. Everybody was saying maybe he might go late in the first round, right? Raheem said, let's go get this guy now. Because I can develop him in 2 years and Kirk Cousins can show him the tools of the trade and we're good, right? So that's what he did there to protect himself and to get a young quarterback. I mean, that to me, it was like, okay, he's got your future. Kirk Cousins is your guy now, but I got a guy for the future. So, you know, I just think it's a funny league, man. I mean, you know, people always wonder, what are people thinking? Look, I always said this about the draft. You draft for your team. You don't draft for anybody else. Just know how you want to build your team. And only the people in the room know that. Everybody else got, you know, well, I would do it. Well, that's great. You go do that in fantasy football. We're going to build our team this way. Because it don't matter what anybody else says, guys. You know, and that's how you got to go do it. And that's what's great about the NFL, guys. You watch that draft. There was almost 300,000 people at the draft. Crazy. You think the NFL ain't booming right now? Business is booming for the NFL.
No doubt. When you were drafted here, when you were in the league, they were doing it in hotel ballrooms, for crying out loud.
There were 17 rounds or something crazy like that.
Yep. Herb, what do
it
you
was
make?
On radio. It wasn't even on television. It was on radio, guys. That's
insane. That's insane. You brought up something that's interesting to me. Shask and I always talk about this. We don't get into the mock drafts on this show, per se, because we don't know what's going on in the war rooms. We don't know what's going on in Santa Clara. We don't know what's going on in Kansas City. We don't know what's going on in Buffalo or New York and whatnot.
Right.
Being on the inside there, Herm, how did you guys always look at the mock drafts or what the experts said during the draft? Did you guys kind of just laugh at it? It's like, these guys have no clue what we're thinking about. When they're all slotting players, this guy's going to be perfect. This coach loves it. What do you guys think about all that?
Well, first of all, it's difficult for people outside the building to do these mock drafts. You know, they're guessing. They're getting information from the people that cover the team, you know, so they're just – and they do a fairly decent job. But at the end, you know, you sit there and you go, we know this team better than anybody. We have more information than anybody. And we're going to stack our board and it's going to look this way. And you don't get involved in that stuff. I mean, who would have imagined, and I said this when I was on the show last week, I said, don't be surprised. All these quarterbacks go in the first round. And they said, no way, coach. I said, don't be surprised. I'm telling you, don't be surprised if these quarterbacks go. Because when you look at the league, half the league has a quarterback they like. The other half, not so much. There's some young quarterbacks coming out, and guess what you got to go do? You got to go get them now. and just say, you know what, I'm going to live with it. I'm going to at least try it, because the alternate is to go get a backup guy that I know again can't play, been in the league 4 or 5 years, really not, he's not the guy. Why do I want that guy? I might as well go get a young guy and build my team around him to see if it works.
Herm, always a pleasure talking to you. We love you.
Thank you, Herm. One of our
favorites, man. We love the insight. Ricky Purcell, man. I think Niner fans are feeling good about him. And we're hoping, well, at least I'm hoping they keep IU and Debo together and help this young kid out, Slick Rick, who's now the newest member of the 49ers. Thanks so much for the insight, Herm.
Appreciate y'all. Thank you.
Anytime. Herm Edwards here on the Morning Roast on 95.7 The Game. A lot of good insights there. What's your big takeaway from what he said? Obviously, the press man is going to bother rookies coming into the league. He'll work on that bump and run. But I do believe with his quicks and quick wiggle, short area quickness, he'll be able to overcome that. But what's your other takeaway from Herm when it comes to Ricky Purcell?
I always love to hear, like, and again, I'm not trying to pretend that I'm some elite coach, but when you talk to people that you know think alike like you when it comes to sports, yep. And you'll ask them, like, about a player, right? Uh-huh. And they'll be like, you know, I'm using a random kid's name. Like, this isn't someone particular. Josh, what do you think of Josh? Ball player. Like, he's a ball player. And you just get this look from a coach that you trust their evaluations. It's almost like the seal of approval. We're like, well, right. Come on, me and him have been on a field so many times together. I get what they're saying. When he was talking about him and John Lynch and how they kind of like think alike and how mm-hmm. they're like, I told him, like, you're gonna like this guy,
right?
Like, is it yes or no? Right. And he said yes. That to me was like, I get the language they're talking, because I do this with some of my other coaches where it's like, I'll tell my boy Jimbo, like, hey man, this kid over here, I'm telling you, he's a player, you know? And like, it's like a stamp of approval. And even then, that doesn't mean you're diving in deep on the nuances of what they do well or whatever. It's just, is that the kind of guy you want on your team?
Right.
Right? And when I'm building out my roster and I look at the Niners currently, they have a bunch of guys who I would want on my team. Right? Like, they, football first. Right. And Herm's talking about, like, this guy loves football. Their whole team loves football. Purdy, Bosa, Warner, like, just go right down the list.
They love football. Debo.
Trent, Debo.
Yeah, they're football players. They love it.
Maniacally obsessed with the game of football. Yep. And all the other stuff is kind of like BS. Football, football, football. I bet on people who are obsessed.
Right.
And so I love hearing that. To me, it was like, damn, I felt like I got the sample. That doesn't mean he's going
to
be good.
Yeah, no, I'd rather bet on the player who loves the game as opposed to somebody who's, you know, is about himself. Sure, he wants to win some games, but he wants his stats. He wants his touchdowns. And then later on, he's going to want his bag. As he deserves, you should want your bag.
For sure.
In the NFL, it's a cutthroat business. But this guy does seem like to play football. And I want, you know, this is why I want Ricky Purcell. I want Ricky to be around Debo and Ayuk, to get more of that love.
That's a good point.
I want that contagious energy that Debo and Ayuk has when they step on that football field. They love to play football. I want Ricky around them. I don't want to move off of Debo. I don't want to move off of Ayuk. I don't want to do that. I want to keep Ricky with them, break him in slowly, because there will be a learning curve for Slick Rick. Let him learn with Debo. Let him learn with Juwan Jennings. Let him learn with Ayuk and get that dog in him. Get a little more dog in him. That's why I'm hesitant on moving these guys. I don't want to do it.
The other thing he said that I loved was that, you know, yes, he works out of the slot, but you can put him in a lot of different positions.
Put him outside.
To make plays.
Yep.
And versatility is extremely valuable to the Shanahan offense.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. You can move them everywhere, but I want to keep them around. I want more options. I want the defense guessing.
This
defense is not going to know. Like, in the NFC West, it's Seattle's loading up on D linemen. The Rams are loading up on D linemen. Arizona, I thought, had a good draft. Mm-hmm. They're going to be loading up here. We got to get some playmakers, man. I need all the playmakers possible to cause headaches for Seattle, Arizona, and the Rams, because that's where it's going to start.
I just look at the short area quickness and being able to get open quickly being a very important factor for Brock Purdy. Brock Purdy is a rhythm, timing type of a guy. He's gonna pre-snap identify the matchup that he wants to attack. So the more amount of guys that you can get open quickly and who can make plays after catching the ball, yards after catch, like, That lines in with exactly what Brock Purdy does. So to me, this is as much about Brock Purdy as it is about the player.
Yep, I agree.
I love it.
I agree. They're committing to Brock Purdy. They're committing to this offense here. I like this kid, but I like him a lot more with Debo and Brandon Ayuk. I'm going to make that clear. Ryan to San Bernardino. Ryan, what's happening? You're on the roast.
Hey, my God, you guys are quickly becoming one of my favorite shows, my brother.
Thank you.
I appreciate that, man. San Bernardino. You know, I got love for SB. JC, San Bernardino Junior College, baby. The Wolverines. Go Wolverines.
Hey, you guys just had Herm Edwards on the phone, so I wanted to say that I dialed to win the call.
It's not bad.
Anyway, I didn't know much about Brandon Ayuk before he got drafted. He came out of Arizona State, and I didn't know much about his ball either. The Niner fans I work with, the little threads I read online, everybody was kind of like in an uproar because I guess we reached a little bit. But who cares? Like, he looks like a good player to me. And I think that he'll be dynamic. I think he'll be good. And I think you guys are right. Like, everyone talks about Jawan Jennings. He's great, great blocker. But, he, I mean, at the end of the day, he's slow. He's not dynamic. And I think you guys are right. You put Debo, Ayuk, this guy in the slot ever so often. And I think we have something cooking there. But I want to ask you guys a question because I was talking about this yesterday with one of my buddies at the Niner fan. You know how we workhorse Christian McCaffrey quite a bit? I wonder if you guys think Shanahan – has been creative enough. Like, it's almost like they don't put Debo in the backfield no more. Like, they don't use him in a way where, like, I heard you earlier say, keep the defenses guessing. I feel like Shanahan could do better with, like, his personnel, because we have superstar personnel, to keep people guessing, but I think we're still kind of predictable in a way.
Interesting. Good call, Ryan.
I don't think they're predictable. No, I don't think they're predictable. I just think they'd like to run the ball. That's what they're going to do. And every now and then they're going to line up and try to smash the ball through your throat.
I do believe their drop back passing game was a bit predictable.
Well, wouldn't this help?
Exactly.
So
this will help to create deaths. So we ask if they're predictable.
Yeah.
Drop back passing game, that aspect of the 49ers offense, it's a bit outdated. That needs a jolt.
Yeah.
That needs a little, you know, a little turbo boost or whatnot. So that's the one area where I think Kyle hasn't been as creative. In the run game, screen game, Kyle's great. Play action pass, all that stuff. But when you need a first down on third and eight and you draw back the pass, how creative can you get? We all know the slants and the drag routes are coming.
But
and defenses started, especially in the playoffs, they were stacking the middle of the field saying, throw it outside the numbers.
Kyle's
That's where they need to get better.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. But Kyle's strength with this team is run the ball, play action. And it's not long developing plays in play action, but it's going to take a longer time for guys to get open off the play action stuff. I think their personnel wasn't a let's go five wide and pick you apart. That's just not what they are. This guy can hopefully help them get better mm-hmm. at that area, which was a weakness.
Yep.
I'm also looking at like what they need, right? So second round today, third round today, and then fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh tomorrow. I'm looking at this. I got Jackson Powers Johnson still on the board. Zach Frazier still on the board. These are two centers. I got Cooper Beebe, the Kansas State guard, still on the board. Love him. Those are guys I like in that second round area, third round area. Cooper DeJean, obviously playmaker, defensive back. Would love to have him. You still have Adonai Mitchell, Jermaine Burton, Keon Coleman, Johnny Wilson. You got a lot of other wide receivers that are available. And then I got linebackers.
I'm not sure where Johnny Wilson fits with Shanahan. I don't know if he's a Shanahan type of wide receiver.
Dad, I hear you. I just like him as a wild card.
No doubt. No,
I like big receivers.
I don't know if Shanahan does. So.
And then I got three linebackers who I could see being in the mix because I like violent playmaking instinctual linebackers. Those are my favorite. I like guys with unreal play speed. Maurice Leafau from Notre Dame is a freaking playmaker. Yeah. You know I love my Notre Dame players. This guy can play on the outside, inside.
Except for Mike McGlinchey.
Oh, no, I knew Mike McGlinchey was a big stiff. I mean, everybody knew Mike. They had Quentin Nelson that year. They should not have taken him. He's a playmaker.
Quick, I want to go back to
this. This is a sleeper playmaker that fits the Niner linebacker mold.
I want to go back to the creativity of Shanahan's offense. Oh, yeah, hold on. I want to go back to the creativity of Shanahan's offense because outside the numbers, now that I'm thinking about it, I'm looking at Slick Rick here. And I want to get back to the prospects that are left on the board. We could do that. That's no problem. But can Slick Rick get outside the numbers? From some of the highlights I saw and some of the film that I saw, looked like he did some major damage outside the numbers. And that's one area where we talk about creativity, what Ryan and San Bernardino was talking about, creativity. Outside the numbers, the Niners don't commit. Everything is between the hash marks, the numbers, and they dominate that area. And they do a lot of deception to create wide open paths, pathways for Purdy to throw the ball over the middle of the field. But can you throw the ball outside the numbers? Fade routes, deep shots, vertical passing game. This guy can help.
Well, I think Juwan Jennings has been one of their better receivers at that kind of stuff.
Right.
Throwing outside. Chris Conley's caught a couple of, again, I know you're laughing, but he caught a couple of sideline balls. They don't have
caught two balls.
I'm talking about the sideline passes. Yeah, they don't have the big body guys who can use their shoulders to box someone out. And that's why, as I'm looking at these other receivers, I still think they're going to take another receiver. I like Jermaine Burton. This dude, Michael Gallup, Golden Tate.
Burton, is that my guy from Alabama?
He played on six different schools, basically, Alabama. Since high school till now.
He bought out last year.
You know, he's a bigger-bodied guy. Keon Coleman is a bigger-bodied guy. Like, Adonai Mitchell, a bigger-bodied guy. I would add a bigger-bodied wide receiver to help offset one of those deficiencies. I think catch radius and being able to box out a corner on the sidelines, it only helps out your quarterback more. Yeah. I call those the chain movers. Like, you know, you look at DK Metcalf, and yeah, he's got the speed and all that, but you could throw it into a crowd, and he could just body everyone and apex a ball. They need that type of a receiver.
I don't know if they're going to go another receiver, though. They might be done. They might be done if they don't trade Deebo Samuel, which I hope they can't do. I think Purdy can throw outside the numbers. Give him a shot to throw outside the numbers. Hey, you know, a lot of people, it didn't look pretty, but that's an area they're going to have to get better at. They're going to have to get better at throwing outside the numbers and deep down the football field. And hopefully Slick Rick does it. Let's go to Austin in Redwood City. Then we got Call of the Week coming up here on the roast. What up, Austin?
Hey, nothing much. Happy Friday, y'all.
Happy Friday, man.
Hey, I just want to say this. Thank you. I just want to say this, man. I kind of like the little draft pick we just did, man. I think it puts more pressure on Deebo than Brandon Ayuk, because we got multiple wide receivers that can actually run routes. We got Ronnie Bell, which I think the guy that we just drafted is better than Ronnie Bell. We got Brandon Ayuk. We got Kittle. I mean, we got Jennings. It just puts more pressure on Deebo. I think this guy is a young Julian Edelman. I think he can become. What y'all think about that?
I wrote down when I was doing my little, you know, 10-minute study on him, I wrote down Edelman, Jerry Jeudy type, but Jerry Jeudy who actually caught the ball in college.
Yeah, no, there's a lot of Edelman because, you know, the whole wide angle. And, hey, Julian Edelman, Brandon Stokely.
Yeah, we can never compare a white guy to a black guy or a black guy to a white guy.
Give me a black slot receiver.
It's always got to be like little white guy reminds me of other little white guy.
Right, yeah, why can't it be a black guy?
Like, because when I saw, like, Cooper DeJean, everyone's like, he's the next Jason Sehorn.
Yeah, I'm like,
we don't have anyone else. Is there Adam Archuleta?
Right.
That's it? Those could are the two white DBs?
Could it be a Micah Fitzpatrick? Could it be an Antoine Winfield Jr.? Like, you know
what I'm saying? Just being honest here, I thought McCaffrey suffered from some of this coming out.
Right. And I thought McCaffrey was my whole thing.
In terms of the perception not fitting the film.
Yeah, no, I thought McCaffrey was Reggie Bush. I was like, this guy's black. This forget white, forget black, forget age, forget all that stuff. This guy's a baller. He reminds me of some of the best black running backs of all time, especially in college football. By the way, Reggie Bush getting his Heisman back.
I like that. Right. I got two more linebackers here, by the end of the show, I got to get these names out on tape so that when we select them and they become superstars, I can say I told you so.
Okay. All right. Go ahead.
UTEP, Tyrese Knight. I'm telling you, this guy from UTEP. Reminds me of Dre Greenlaw. Explosive sheds, wraps up over 140 tackles last year. Absolute playmaker. Nathaniel Watson, Mississippi State. I love the big splash play guys from the SEC. 137 tackles last year. I'm telling you, Leofau from Notre Dame, the UTEP linebacker, and the Mississippi State linebacker, they need to walk away with one of these linebackers on day three.
Well, who I like is Jeremiah Charter Jr. from Clemson, but I don't think he's in the mold. I don't think he's in the mold of what the Niners like to do defensively at the linebacker spot. He played a little bit in pass coverage, but I saw him stuffing the run a lot. He's a good blitzer. Jeremiah Charter was a good linebacker for many, many years with the Philadelphia Eagles. Obviously, you got the bloodlines there with his son. He's very...